Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast once again. Now, last week, we preached a sermon entitled, All You've Got to Do Is Ask. That was part one. This is part two. You know, you are a vessel full of creative power and potential, but it won't flow out until you ask. Don't complicate that. That is so simple. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. I mean, you know, come on. What a blessing of the Lord it is. All God wants to do is be a blessing to you. So let's go into part two right now, this wonderful sermon called All You've Got to Do Is Ask. Write this down. If God didn't think you could handle asking, He wouldn't have told you to do it. If He didn't think you could handle this, He would not have put it in His Word, and He would not have asked you to do it. Why is that so hard? Because you've been around people that taught you to doubt, and you're very good at it. You see, when you saturate yourself in an environment of doubt, the only thing that can come out in life is doubt. But if you saturate yourself in an area of faith, you see, an area of expectations of that faith, which means an area of progressiveness, of growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. You're going to be surprised how many babies make it to heaven. Baby, I'm not talking about little physical, I'm talking about baby Christians that have been in the church for 50 years. You'll be able to notice them. They'll be 50, 60, 70 years old with Pampers on. Spiritually speaking, is what I'm saying this. Some of them are leaking. You got the picture, didn't you? Some of them carrying a load that you never carry. Don't freak me out. I'm not blowing you up. Just look on the box. Good for 10 pound, 20 pound, 50 pound. That's, you know, now we laugh. We think it's funny, but that's sad. That's totally sad. Some of making to heaven autistic can only function in a way that you don't understand. But God loves them. Think about that. You as a parent, when you have a newborn baby, that's about probably the greatest miracle when they put that baby in your hand. And boy, they start growing, and all of a sudden, they're able to move a little bit. You get excited when you see them trying to crawl and reach out to something. And all that, boy, and all that. Then you get in what they call the terrible twos, which are actually wonderful. Because we all did it, you know. They get them to understand, because all of a sudden, they've been told no, and they figured out that they don't like the word no. So they, listen, I don't want to hear that. And then they get five, and you explain to them that they got to go to school, and they get excited about the first day of school. Then they realize, I don't want to go back. Because they can't be with mama all day. And you start to see, all of a sudden you see that wonderful personality begins to come out, ma, and they begin to ask things, and you get so excited. You see them begin to grow up. All of a sudden you say, hug me, and they go, mm-mm. And then you think, what are they doing that for? As they grow, then something hits you. They're growing too fast. And you don't want them to leave. But they're growing. Let me help you. They're going to leave. Not for life. It's called the cycle of life. You see what I'm saying? What happens, they have to grow. But all of a sudden, then they're growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And then we as parents begin to go, man, I've been saying all my life, I can't wait till these kids get out of this house. But when they leave, you go, what happened? Then after they get out of the house, you always ask them to come back. You notice that? You see, it's a cycle of life. And then they form their own families. And that's when the good stuff happens. Then you become grand for the first time in your life. And it's wonderful. And it's a blessing. You see, why? You begin to appreciate the progressiveness of their growth. But sad to say, the church world for centuries has not appreciated the progressiveness of the spiritual growth of God's house. They wanted to stay in the pamper stage. Well, you hear, don't shout me down when I'm preaching to you. See, so let me just say this. If God didn't think you could handle asking, he would not have told you to do so. Write this down. Exercise your right of asking by quoting scripture to yourself. Exercise your right of asking by quoting scripture to yourself. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. I like that, Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Here's the point. Exercise your right of asking by quoting scriptures to yourself. I quote scriptures to myself all the time. I quote chapters to myself. You know, a lot of times, because I have to believe for major numbers in terms of financial, just to operate this ministry. I'm talking big numbers. So you know what I say? I say so many different things. I run all over. I mean, I could spend quite a little time here. I want to finish out this sermon. But when it comes to every man, I'll just say it, you know, every man according as his purpose, and so let him give, not grudging nor necessity, for God loveth that you're forgiven. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He has dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor his righteousness and remained forever. Now he with ministered seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed, so increases the fruits of your righteousness, being rich and all bound. See, I mean, I can quote you. I mean, you want me, I'm not trying to brag on it. I can quote script, I can quote chapters. Now, what I do, I exercise it. He was so spanish, shall reap also spanish. He was so bountiful, shall reap also bounty. Bring all the tithe in the storehouse, there be meat in my house. Bring, you know, I can do that. I'm not bragging about that. But if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land, glory. The Lord's my shepherd. I don't know who your shepherd is, but he my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. He ain't got to make me. I lay down, bless God. I'm going to lay down in the green pasture. You know what I'm saying? I can just quote this. I'm exercising my right to ask. Somebody shout over that. I'm exercising my right. So I look at myself in the mirror and I said, Jesse, I say to this righteous man. When Satan fight me, no weapon formed against me going to prosper. Every tongue that rise up against me, whoa. I'm exercising that right to ask by quoting these scriptures to me. To me. So I can preach them to you. But I can't just preach them to you unless I have manifestation of those things that I preach to you. You see what I'm saying? Write this down. You are a vessel full of creative power. And potential. You are a vessel full of creative power and potential. But that flow doesn't exit until you ask. You're full of potential and power, but it doesn't flow out. It doesn't exit until you ask. When you understand that, it's the power of who Christ is in you. We must focus our attention on all his word and act with purpose toward his will. His will is for you to ask. He says in St. John 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you got to ask. All you got to do is ask. I keep coming back to that simple thought that is actually so profound. And in that asking is everything you've ever wanted in life. But you got to focus on that. Write this down. Asking always draws a blessing to you. If you expect to be successful, success will find you. Asking always draws a blessing to you. If you expect to be successful, success will find you. You see? Now, the problem is if you're still worried about that, the will of God, if you got Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're going to ask correctly. But I don't feel like I asked right. No, what that is all those years that somebody told you something that was wrong, that wrong finally turned into right, but in God's eyes, it's still wrong. You see, his purpose in life for you is to be, watch this, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. My God, he said, all the works that I do, go do them and do them greater. heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive and freely give. My Lord, I mean, this stuff is so big. All you got to do is ask for it. The reason why I've owned 3 corporate jets is because I asked for them.
Amen.
Well, the first one he told me he's going to give because I didn't have enough guts to ask.
Come on.
See, I had my Pampers on. And it, in no way, I mean, I couldn't even drive a tricycle, much less believe God for a jet. But that didn't stop me from growing. You see, when I received it, instead of getting so happy about it like most people do, of something physically that they walk in it, I realized that there was growth in this process. I remember the first time I ever wanted a Rolex. Rolex is the big brother of Timex. A Rolex. And I was asking in the wrong manner, but you know what? Children do that all the time, but you don't throw them away. I said, Lord, can I have a Rolex? He said, okay, you little flesh creature. You little flesh creature. I was called a little flesh creature. It wasn't that he wanted to give me a Rolex. That had nothing to do with it, see. Now, was I asking wrong? In one sense, I was, because all I was thinking about was just the thing. God would have given me 40 Rolexes. That's not the issue. But you see, at that time, I really didn't know how to wear a Rolex. So there was things that I was asking for that I wasn't old enough to receive. It wasn't that God didn't want to give it to me. Finally, he said, why do you want the Rolex? To show off or do you just like it? You can always tell somebody if they're building, you know, I used to, when we were young, real, we was always weightlifting. And that's why I met Kathy at the swimming pool. And it'd be 3 or 4 of us, and we would just stand there flexing until we couldn't breathe. You know what I'm saying? Trying to keep the abs looking tight and all that kind of, and turn around, suck some wind in, you know, stuff like that. Just trying to make it work, you know, that kind of stuff. Or we'd do gymnastics, remember, on the side of the pool, you know, an LC, you know, or whatever, you know, just all kinds of, you know, just to show the girls. That's all it was, you know. But I mean, after a while, you just flat get tired. And I realized my asking shouldn't be just to show off. Now, if you receive a Rolex, nothing wrong with a Rolex, and people go, wow, you got a Rolex. Yeah, isn't that nice? Look what the Lord hath done.
Amen.
Or come to my say, why don't you take that piece of trash you got off your arm and try to believe God for something like that? You see, now that's the wrong way. That's a wrong attitude, see. God will give you everything you could possibly ask or think. That's not the issue. But that's where people ask amiss. And most people think it's in the thing. It's not in the thing. It's in why you want the thing. Are you getting that? You understand that? So asking always draws a blessing to you. If you expect to be successful, success will find you. Write this down. The more clearly you understand your rights in the Word, the more fully you will receive of Him. The more clearly you understand your rights in the world, the more fully you will receive of Him. See, I understand my rights. I have a right to be healed. I have a right to be blessed. I have a right to live long and prosper. Amen. I have a right. Now, sometimes people want to take away your rights. First, you got the Word of God says you can have them, and you got the Constitution of the United States says you can have them. Isn't that amazing that after Abraham Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, which meant that every slave was free, that slavery was not only were slaves free, but slavery was abolished, because that's what a civil war was fought over, abolished. And before that, we had slave states and free states, if you know any history concerning America. You see what I'm saying? He abolished it. Yet the black man, watch this, through intimidation, with guys with sheets on top of their heads. Now, if they're so powerful, why did they want to cover their face? Let me tell you why they wanted to cover their face, because they knew if they got caught that the law would work against them. But watching all those years, the black race, the majority of the black race did not live in the full rights that was given to them by the President of the United States, that was voted on by the Congress. He proclaimed it. They all accepted it. Until one day, somebody stood up and said, I have a right. Watch what you say, because what you say will come to pass. And here's the statement he should not have said. I may not get there with you. And he didn't. But I've looked over and saw the promised land. And that was wonderful. But if anybody wanted to walk in that promised land, I never met the man, but I would say 100%, it would be Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin, he wanted to walk in that. You see what I'm saying? But why did it take so long? Because other races convinced the black race that just is where you are. Now, isn't that sad? But you see, there's always somebody trying to judge you about something. When the Bible says, judge not. Write this down. Most people live in a deficit. Why? Because the church that they go to has taught them to only get by. Most people live in a deficit because the church they go to or whoever they're under only tells them to get by. Because if they try to get better than that, then you're, you like the kids say, you think yourself. No. Don't you want your child blessed? I've never met a parent that didn't want their child to live better than they live. I mean, it's just called love. You want to. Daryl's son takes care of our pool, Sean. And I saw him the other day. I said, hey, Sean, how you doing? We started talking. He said, boy, them twins are getting big. Them twins are getting big. They had a beautiful set of twins. And what's that?
Grand twins.
Grand twin, not them, but you know, it's part of them, you know, grand twins. And I thought, oh, God, man, I don't doubt they shouted when they seen them sweet little babies, but you can't stop that growth because they're eating something right. Amen. Let me tell the people here at Covenant Church, you will never stop growing here because we're going to feed you something right. Amen. That's why I constantly tell you about getting out of debt. I just keep saying it. I don't care if you burp up and spit it all over your chest. We're going to wipe it off and stick that spoon in your mouth again. Understand what I'm saying? I don't care how many times we got to burp you. I don't care how many times you burp and the spit run down. They're going to shove that spoon in your mouth. And we're going to get you off of the formula, get you off of the, well, all that stuff. And we're going to start feeding you good house food or table food. We're going to get you there. Why? Because we don't want you living in a deficit. Why did Jesus say the poor you have with you always? Because they're in places where poverty, people are preaching that poverty is a blessing when it's a total curse. It's killing more people than any wars. It's destroyed more people than anything ever anywhere on this planet. Ladies and gentlemen, watching all over the world, it's a curse. But God said, if you will accept what he said, he will bless you. He'll turn your prosperity P or your poverty P into prosperity. Spiritually, physically, and financially. Oh, Lord. Why? Why? Because God's ways of thinking is always pure. It's always clear. And it's always right. There is no want in anything. Let me say it again. Why does God do this? God's way of thinking is always pure, clear, and right. There's no want for anything. So let me close with this last statement. You must not be resigned to ignorance. When explicitly he told you to ask of him. I'll say this. My wonderful granddaughter had her 7th birthday. It was a blessing. And I can't think of the name of the place that Jody had set up for them. Some place where they jump and bounce and scream and holler and all kinds. What they call it?
Sector 6.
Sector 6. You know, it's kind of like Star Wars and stuff like that. Sector 6, you know, whatever. So Jody says, would you and Jay go pick up food at Cane's? So I said, Jay, come on with me. He said, yeah. So we go. Now, Jay don't know. I don't know. We don't know what Jody ordered. I tell you, I didn't even know how many children that Jody had invited to Meredith's birthday party. Because they seemed like thousands of kids in that sector six. I thought, I hope to God this ain't all. He's coming to his birthday boy. Lord Jesus, man. I mean, they just bounce and jump. So me and Jay, we come walking there like as if we know something, you know. Praise God. I said, well, do you have an order here for Jody Roberts? Yes, we do. It's not quite finished yet. It'll be finished in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Okay. So, man, I start seeing sacks and sacks and half gallons of lemonade and half gallon of
gallons.
And then all of a sudden, here come the chicken, man. So me and Jay, Jay pulls out a car, he's going to pay for it. And I said, no, Jay, let me do that. Oh, no, that's fine. I said, no, let me do it. I said, how much is this bill? He said, this King's chicken, $299.80-something. I almost said, go ahead, Jay, you can go ahead and pay for that. $299 worth of chicken strips? I said, did you say $299 of chicken? That's some chicken-eating kids, boy. I ain't kidding you. I mean, Jody said, but I wanted to make sure Daddy had enough. Had enough? You could have fed everybody during Hurricane Katrina with just this one order. Holy chicken. But you know what? Everybody loved it. Oh, I mean, all them kids were eating and enjoying themselves, and it was having a wonderful time. What she did was provide more than enough. I said that to say this. God always provides more than enough. And you're not to pay the bill. All you got to do is ask, ladies and gentlemen. Is that simple? Is fear of asking God keeping you from receiving your breakthrough? A promotion at work, maybe? Better relationships in your life? How about getting out of debt? That's a big one, isn't it? You have to exercise your right to ask. How do I do that? Get into the Word. Quote scripture to yourself. I mean, if you got to get in front of a mirror, just quote scripture to yourself. Listen, the more clearly you understand your rights in this Word, the more fully you will receive of Him. Do you understand? All God wants to do is give you an insight to see what He's seeing. He said, ask anything in my name. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That's big. And all God is doing is waiting on you to ask. I had a wonderful question sent to me by a person named Robin. They asked this, Jesse, why do some breakthroughs come quickly and the others seem like they will never come? That's a great question. Well, sometimes we have a fear of a breakthrough. We want it to happen, but we think, well, what if it happened? What are we going to do? And sometimes Satan works overtime on some things and less time on other things. Robin, that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? But that's all right. I ask and keep on asking. I seek and I keep on seeking. I knock and I keep on knocking. You know, I just do. I don't care. The time frame means nothing to me. I never mix faith and time because time will become your enemy. Bible said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for due season we reap if we faint not. Isn't that good? My Lord, Robin, thank you for that wonderful question. That is a blessing because I'll tell you, sometimes things happen, boom. Another time you're going, will it ever happen? You know, he just don't want you to have it. But Satan has the power to hinder, but he does not have the power to stop. Ooh, I like that. Isn't that good? Receive that today and watch the breakthrough come and be a great blessing to you. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you. There's some wonderful things happening here at Jessup Plants Ministries. We'd like to give everybody an update of what's going on and show you some different things that are happening. I believe you're going to be blessed in this, so watch this. I'll be back in a moment. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that He has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, He will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. Our product offer is my new book, Give God a Job. See, Give God a Job is also our theme for this year, and it's based on Genesis 18, verse 14. It's the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, we know nothing is too hard for Him. This book right here, look at me, is going to help you release your faith in God's power. It will show you how to let go of what you think is too hard or too much for Him. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org today for your copy, and you will be blessed by it. That's our website. Partners, thank you. I hope me and Kathy say thank you enough for what you do for this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important in reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. That's one of our statements here at Jesse the Planet's Ministries. We reach people. We don't play with money. It's not our money. It's your seed and it's God's seed. And he takes it and makes it a harvest. What a blessing of the Lord. Nothing too small, nothing too big. You know, I got small projects, big projects. People all the time ask me, my God, man, but Jesse, when you gonna ever retire? Don't look like I am. I guess every time I go to even think about that, God gives me another major project to do. And I'm talking, I wish they were $100. And some of them are $20 million, some are $8.5 million, some are $100,000, and some are $30. Little stuff, but we get it all done. I thank you for your faithful financial support. Every dollar given goes into world evangelism. That's what it's all about. We are completely debt-free. That's what it's all about. We've been debt-free since 1982. It's so wonderful to be debt-free. Try it. You'll like it. Well, I'm trying to get there. Oh, don't try. Do. And if you let God do it, well, give him a job. Go read my book, my new book. Give him a job. My God, and watch what God will do. And he'll do it quickly if you put your faith on it quickly. Thank you, partners, for supporting this ministry. I hope you do something today, and I'll get somebody saved today, healed today, out of depression today because of your faithful financial support. Until next week, Jesse the Planet saying, I love you. God bless. Bye-bye. Jesus said he could change a nation in a day. We can preach to the world today. 7.8 billion people in 7 minutes. A time has come. We have a job to do, a vision to fulfill.
We're believing God for the unbelievable, the impossible, simply because it's doable.
He said, now, the uttermost parts of the world are yours. Go. Every little thing that I can give him opportunity to expand, I will.
He's looking for people that are bold enough to step up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me.
Come on. Hallelujah.
The only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Now, let's show the world who he really is. Are you ready to dream and realize the impossible in your life? Our August partner offer, Unrealized Possibilities, is going to help you discover those hidden gifts and strengths within you that God wants to use. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you have or haven't accomplished, God wants to bring you to the next level. It's time to break through barriers, reach new heights, and live your dreams. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil is afraid of me. You need to let yourself know that. You have to realize that the devil is the one who's terrified. He's the one who's shouting all this stuff because he's really afraid of what the church would do if they would ever just take a glimpse of who they are in Christ.